Take your Bibles to John chapter 11 this morning, and I love it when God shows up. If you can't preach after the service we've already had this morning, then you ain't much of a preacher. That's all I can say. I tell you, that's great. And I thank God for what when God begins to move. And what's amazing to me is the message we've been working on this morning. I've got some help coming with it in a minute here, too. I started about 2 or 3 years ago, Brother Cabot, and you hit the very first point of the last point. You actually said it. So God's in it. So no problem with that at all, brother. I appreciate that. And I love when God does show up and take charge with the whole service. Brother Billy will be back in this afternoon doing the funeral. He may be actually listening in this morning or whatever. You be praying for him. A lot of traveling. And I had no idea when we started. As you turn to John chapter 11, this is one of those, sometimes you have a message, you know, those of you that preach, it just comes right away, and you know right away. I've talked about preaching this for years and never got around to it, and God just said, now's the time. And then when we started to get ready for this Sunday, I said, Lord, are you sure? Kind of odd circumstances, because the title of the message today is The Walking Dead. And I think this is probably part one. We'll probably hit part two around May 20th or so. I think I'll be with you on Sunday morning. But The Walking Dead. Now, John chapter 11, and as we look at this passage, we find here, and I'm going to read one verse. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Skip with me down to verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, if you'll skip again down with me to verse number 11. These things said he, of course, meaning Jesus Christ. And after that, he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Verse 14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus had met this wonderful family of Lazarus, Mary, Martha. They had invited him into their home to become a part of their home, and he no doubt stayed there. And girls, if you'll make your way up, that are going to help me this morning. They had become part of each other's lives. They had invited him into their home. They had invited him, no doubt, into their heart. He had become the hope of their life. And here it is, Brother Cabot, the very first point, you just led right into it for us. I love how God works. But God had a plan. Lazarus had talked to Jesus Christ. So let that sink in. In the flesh, he had touched him. He had ate supper with him. They had no doubt shared stories together, as we're told, of the relationship in the Scripture. And Lazarus got sick. And Mary and Martha, no doubt, were saying, where's Jesus? Brother Calvin is, I know this week's been hard. He's saying, where's Jesus in this? Did they pray? I'm sure. Did they look up to heaven and say, God, our brother is sick? Do you think they asked God to spare their brother's life? I wasn't there, but I think they probably did. But what does the Scripture say happened? He died. 380 times your King James Bible records these simple little words, "and he died." And if I were to go into most churches, I find people praying to keep people out of heaven in their prayer request time, when we should be praying that God would help us lead people to Christ. I was listening to Brother Kevin. I said, man, he's got the, I don't have to have an introduction. He just did it. We need to be praying for them to trust Christ, because we're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. The serious nature of what we are looking at this morning, I asked Melanie and Jordan, they have a skit that's entitled, it's actually, to give credit, is originally by Skit Guys, and it's somewhat humorous, but it has a ton of theology in it, as I've listened to this several times, about how would it have been after Lazarus. And I want to focus on the main last few minutes we have together this morning on not Lazarus dying and before he died, but what about Lazarus' life after he was resurrected? So girls, if you will, they're going to do a little story this morning entitled Lazarus. I don't remember the even name of it, but what would it have been like after he was resurrected?
Hi, everybody. Jordan and Lane here, and we're here to talk to you about something very scary.
The New Testament.
Wait a second. How is the New Testament scary?
Oh, it's totally scary. You got plots of murder, you got shipwrecks, you got stonings, you got escapes in the middle of the night, you got zombies,
Zombies?
Yeah, what do you think Lazarus was?
No. Lazarus was living.
Yeah, the living dead, walking
no.
dead. Haven't you seen
no.
the TV show?
No. He was a living. In John chapter 11, Jesus came on the scene and he raised Lazarus from the dead. It wasn't scary. It must have been an amazing thing. Can you just imagine it?
Let's go.
I can't believe Lazarus is dead.
I know. One minute he's telling me a joke, and the next minute,
his jokes always crack me up. They killed me. And I said killed. That's not cool.
That's not cool. But the thing is, he didn't even get to finish telling me the joke. And I'm dying to know the end of that joke.
You said dying and he's dead.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, hey, Jesus.
Hey, Jesus.
What's wrong with us? You didn't hear that Lazarus, he's dead.
Yeah, maybe if you'd have been here, it wouldn't have happened.
It's all really hypothetical at this point. We still don't know what happened.
Jesus is crying.
What?
Jesus doesn't cry.
No.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
What?
The red ones, the yellow ones, the black ones, the white ones, the pink ones, the purple ones, the skinny ones, the fat ones. That little chunky kid that lives down at the end of my road. Jesus loves you, chunky boy. But I don't.
Melanie.
I've been saving up every one of them rocks you've ever done thrown at me. And one of these days, I'ma hurl them at you with the power of Zeus. Then who be laughing then? Who be laughing
Melanie.
Then, chunky boy?
Melanie, we do not do this to our thumbs in church. You okay?
I need a psychiatrist.
Yes, and we'll get you one after. Okay, you good?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Time in.
Okay.
Was that Jesus? You want us to roll away the stone? Don't quote me on this, but Lazarus, he stinketh. I don't think it's such a good idea.
Yeah, and don't quote me on this either, but Lazarus has been in there for like 4 days, man. Lazarus, he ate a chalupa before he died, and he didn't have time to do a chalupa poopa.
Time out.
So, what?
A chalupa.
Chalupa.
A chalupa.
A chalupa.
Out of all the foods that you chose a chalupa.
Chalupa.
For his last meal.
Chalupa.
Okay, look, I'm sure everyone here is pretty smart. Melanie, they're smart.
You can't prove that.
Okay, I'm sure they're all smart, and I know that they know that Lazarus didn't eat a chalupa for his last meal. Can you just make it grounded, biblical?
It was an unleavened chalupa, which I'm pretty sure is just a burrito.
Why do I even try?
I don't know.
Okay. A burrito. Time in. What's that, Jesus? You still want us to roll away the stone? Can you get someone to do that? I don't want to.
Roll away the stone, Skippy.
Time out.
What?
Skippy.
Skippy.
Skippy. Out of all the biblical names you chose Skippy, a hydrogenated peanut butter, to roll away the stone. You couldn't just say, hey, Andrew, hey, Bartholomew, come roll away the stone for us. No, you chose Skippy. Peanut butter!
Well, being the smart, intellectual person that I am, mm-hmm. I look over there, and what do I see? I see Andrew and Bartholomew. They're standing there with Jesus. See him over there? Hey, Andrew, how's your mom?
Hi.
Hey, Bartholomew, how are the kids? A little Timmy doing good? He's doing good? All right.
Timmy.
See, then we look over here, and what do I see? But I see Skippy.
Peanut butter.
Next to Grandma Smuckers.
Jam.
And Peter Pan.
Peanut butter.
And little Miss Minute Maid.
Lemonade.
Why are you labeling all of my friends?
They're food.
Well, the audience doesn't need to know that. You know what? Just because I love you so much, I am going to make it all bibliographical just for you.
Thank you.
Just because I love you. Time in. Roll away the stones, Skippius. Now you see why he goes by Skippy.
Yep.
And now we learn something today. Don't question me.
Okay.
It comes out worse for you.
What did I miss?
Did you hear Jesus?
No.
He goes, Lazarus, come forth.
Really?
Yeah.
No offense, Jesus, but who speaks like that anymore?
I don't get that.
Me neither.
Oh.
Hey, Lazarus. I see dead people.
I see dead people, too.
In John chapter 11, Jesus came on the scene and he... Okay, yes, he stinks. But he came on the scene and he raised Lazarus from the dead. He called him specifically by name.
Well, he had to.
Why is that?
Well, this won't no single cedar tomb. There's more than one body in there. If he had just said, come forth, it would have been like Thriller.
True.
See?
Yeah, but that's what's so great about it. He also calls us by name. Yeah. But think about it this way. What if Lazarus didn't come out of the tomb?
Yeah, what if he said, no, I'm good, thanks. It's nice and warm in here. People don't judge me in here. If I come out of the grave, people are going to expect me to be different.
And that's what's great about it. Jesus, he wants us to not put on the grave clothes, but to live this life we live, this abundant life.
See, I done told you it was scary.
Thank you, ladies. And just to think, I spent riding the car with them all the time, all these trips we do. My goodness. But I want you to think about what they said in the ending of that. And you think about what it would have been like to have seen it. Jesus said, come forth, and he came forth. Dr. Jerry Vines well stated that if Jesus, if you noticed, was the first person who died on the cross. He had to be. Because if Jesus had not died on the cross first and the other two thieves would have died first, they would have come back to life. I dare you to find an instance in the New Testament where Jesus comes in the presence with a dead body that it doesn't come to life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life, he says, and he that abides in me, yet though he were dead, yet shall he live. He never came across a funeral. He didn't break it up. And Lazarus had the one thing that 99.99999% of people never get. Lazarus died, and he came back. God had a plan. As I look around this room, I see people who I know God had a plan for your loved ones. 2009, I was sitting in a missions conference in Coates, North Carolina, at Coates Community Church, when we got the call. My dad had developed cancer. I remember as we drove back and forth that summer, and eventually his dad lost that short battle with cancer, and I remember him being able to get up, walk, and talk and everything just fine, but a few battles in the hospital, and just walked over, laid down, went to sleep, and went straight to heaven. Amen. Just like that. It was at the point I said, God, just take him, because I know he can't live with the battle he's going to have to go through. He was an outdoors person, wide open, could not stand to just sit still and be in the house. I said, I think it'll kill him just to go through that. And God did, and he just took him right in his sleep there. He walked over, laid down, went to sleep, and went to heaven. Last year, during our junior camps and drama camps and all that, we were back and forth to Florida. My wife's father developed cancer and wound up, as you know, passing away in December. And I remember driving all night long last December, trying to get there to say, just see him one more time there. We get to spend some time in Thanksgiving. But I remember driving all night long, 15 minutes from the house, we get the call that he'd already passed on. But God had a plan. And we often say, I wouldn't wish him back. And yet Lazarus came back. As God had that plan for their life. I remember my mother-in-law talking to us as we were at the funeral home last year, and they said one of the things, last thing I remember him telling us when we left in November was, I'm planning on teaching again in January. He had not planned to die. In fact, he had no funeral arrangements whatsoever. He said, we asked her, what did he have anything he wanted done? And he said, and she told us, she said, in 40-something years of marriage, we never talked about it, not one time. He didn't plan to die. Now, he planned on where he was going. He had the most important thing taken care of. He had already had arrangements, and he had his ticket. He knew exactly. He wasn't afraid of dying. He knew where he was going. So he wasn't worried about the down here part of it. He didn't have a plan, but God did. And I can remember being at some of your loved ones' hospital rooms and funerals. And can I tell you, God had a plan. We see it as a problem, but God had a plan. And I want you to understand, as he looked at that, Lazarus had that one thing that we don't get. The power of God reached into that tomb and he said, Lazarus. As we find the 380 times in the Bible that it says, and he died, he's one of the few that died and came back. We don't hear much about his life after he came back from the grave. Chapter 12 gives us just a slight look into it. But we do know that not only did God have a plan, but God's power raised him from the dead. And he came back to life and he said, this is for my glory. John chapter 12, and I want to tell you, this gives, and once again, Brother Kevin, I'm telling you, he gave me everything I needed for an introduction. Do you know what happened because of Lazarus being raised from the dead? You know what he did with that? He told people about Jesus. He got that burden he was talking about earlier. John chapter 12 and verse 9, look what happened. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not only for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see who? Lazarus. That they, whom also he raised from the dead. You know what Lazarus became? Lazarus became a walking billboard for the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All Lazarus did for the rest of his life was point people to Jesus. What a problem. He had a plan. God had a plan for his life, and Lazarus came forth, and that's what he became, was a walking billboard that the power of God has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And many Jews were there, it said, to see Lazarus, to see the proof of the resurrection. You want to disprove God? Go ahead, try it. Let's see how it works out for you. Everyone who has ever tried to disprove the resurrection, there's at least three great historians and now theologians that have tried to disprove the resurrection. All three of them wrote a book, and they started in their book to start out to try to disprove the resurrection. All three changed the title of it to Prove the Resurrection. And they became Christians. He's not there. He is risen, as he said. I want to end quickly, as I know we have a busy day and all of that. And I wanted to throw that skit in there to kind of give you just a little bit of a humorous side at it. But the truth is there, because children, as Brother Billy says, we've got a lot of time for crying. You might say, well, how does that fit in church? There's going to be a lot of time to cry. We've seen a lot of tears in our church in the last few years. And there's sometimes we just need to laugh and be reminded of God's power. But not only God's plan, God's power, but God's purpose. When God saved you, He gave you a purpose. He didn't want you to keep it inside. Some people look at people worshiping God and they'll say, what's wrong with them people? Maybe you don't know the same Jesus they know. Maybe Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, doesn't do anything for you because you've never experienced the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about some crazy, wild-eyed thing. I'm talking about God coming in your heart and changing your heart. That's what He'll do. That's His purpose. In all my 20-something years experience in ministry, there are several things that I want to close with that I've never heard. How would Lazarus have ended his days? One I find kind of funny, because the number 10, the chief priest, consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. That just always tickles me to death. I look at this, and here Lazarus is. He's standing before here the Pharisees are. They're saying, Lazarus, because Jesus raised you from the dead, we want to kill you. Dude, that's a rerun. I already saw that movie. I know how that goes. Go ahead. I mean, how do you threaten a man that's come back from death? I think he probably lived fearless. I think he was pretty bold in sharing his faith. Go ahead. What can man do to me, as the scripture says? I've already been there. Send me back to paradise. What a problem. And he didn't care. At this point, I don't believe there was anybody he wouldn't witness to. If you knew that you were dying tomorrow, would it change the way you live today? Would it change it? I think it would, wouldn't it? Lazarus, I believe, lived life with a purpose, and God wants you to do the same. In all the years, as I started to say in ministry, I have held people's hands sometimes literally as they took their last breath. And I've heard them say many different things when they were dying. I have never heard anyone say, I wish I'd never took that family vacation. We were getting ready to, we took a day off on Friday. It was a crazy busy week. Next week's going to be the same. And it was the only day we were going to be able to do that. In ministry, we've learned, I don't have a Saturday where something's not planned until sometime in June, you know. And it's like, you just have to learn how to take them when you can. And I said, but we got so much to do, I don't know if I got time to go. And the Holy Spirit of God said, remember the message you're preaching on Sunday? Practice what you preach. So we did. And I was glad I did. I've never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I wish I'd have spent more time at work. Now, I know the Bible says you shall 6 days out thou work and when you take care of families. And I, if you know me, you know I don't have a problem with work. I've never heard that. I've never heard somebody on their deathbed say, I wish I had not told my family I loved them as many times as I told them. I never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I wish I had not sent that card, that email, or that text to that friend to let them know I was thinking about them. I wish I'd have never done that. I never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I wish I had never given those flowers to that person or never did that nice thing for them. Wish I hadn't done that. I never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I really regret all that time I spent at church. I never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I really wish I hadn't prayed so much. I never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I really wish I had not studied the Word of God so much. I never heard anybody on their deathbed say, I really wish I had not given my life and my heart to Jesus Christ. Try Jesus. You don't like him, the devil will take you back. Truthfully, he can't. You'll like him. If you're here this morning by way of the internet, the radio, or in the audience right now, maybe it just hit you for the first time. This is real. It's not a game we're playing. Kevin said a while ago, I wish I could just get the burden for the fire of God. You ever see what hell's like? You ever go to heaven and see what it's like? Either way, you'll know. You'll get it. Well, the Calvin shared with me the first time he ever played in the Jesus part in Judgment House, he started having nightmares about hell because it touched his life so drastically. I believe Lazarus would have lived life with purpose. There might have been a few people that Lazarus would have went to and said, hey, I didn't tell you this before I died, but now I want to tell you that I love you. There might have been a few people he would have went to and said, I really want to apologize for that time. You remember that? He might have made some things right. I believe he lived life with a purpose. This is the rest of your life coming in front of you. You can't go back and undo yesterday. You don't know that you're going to get tomorrow. We have three people associated with this church that didn't know that they would be in heaven now. You say, you're just trying to scare us. No, I'm telling you the truth. That's what I'm telling you. I don't know why. It's been a very unique service. I've felt God's Holy Spirit from the very beginning. And I don't ask Brother Brad to come, and I don't know what God's going to lead him to do. You say, that's a very short message. I didn't have a lot that I needed to preach. I think it had already been preached today. If you were on your deathbed, what is it you would have wished you'd have done? You know, the altar's always open, but there might be somebody as we go into a time of invitation that you just need to go to. And you say, well, it's a Sunday morning service. We're all dignified. It won't matter on your deathbed. You will not be dignified. You won't be concerned. You know, I was thinking last week as I was thinking, you know, one thing as we were paying bills like everybody trying to figure out how you're going to get this bill met and that bill met and all that. And I thought, you know what? I ain't never heard nobody on their deathbed say, I wish that I had earned just 10 more dollars. I hadn't heard it. Not a time. You know, all that money, all those things, it's going to be gone. It's not going to do you absolutely one bit of good. You won't be dignified. A hospital gown will take care of that. You won't be worried about all that. You won't be worried about who's watching. So let me tell you, we stand to our feet this morning for a time of invitation. I don't know what God's leading Brother Brad to do here this morning. Let's just stand together. Maybe there's somebody you just want to turn around maybe right by and just say, hey, just wanted to let you know I love you. You don't know. You know, Brother Mike, just a few weeks ago, had to bury his mother in a car accident. He didn't know that was coming. And we don't know what tomorrow might bring. There might be somebody you need to leave here this afternoon and send them an email, a text, a card, or a phone call and say, hey, I just wanted you to know that I loved you. This might be the last time you get that opportunity. Living life with purpose.